Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find
one. Are you confused with the ups and downs in the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stuff.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, president of Euro Pacific Capital, and we're here at Wall Street Unspun at 5.07 megahertz, broadcasting live on that signal and on my website at www.europac.net, EUROPAC.net. And on that site, potentially we're having a little technical difficulty. I don't know if you're trying to listen on the internet, and you also have shortwave, where you can call me up and let me know if you're not able to log on the internet, because I'm looking at my program right here, and I'm not seeing the internet link. Anyway, the telephone number to call live to be on today's program is 1-888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. The lines are open and willing to take your calls. Hopefully, people are able to listen from the website. I'm going to actually check a different browser and see if it's working on that other browser. Sometimes, you know, you can use one browser and a site's not working properly, and then you go to a different browser and it's working. So I'm going to check on this other browser and see if it's there. Nope, it's not there either. So I don't know if people are able to listen to the show. Anyway, if you're experiencing any difficulty, I don't even know if anybody can even call me, because if obviously you can't even see that you can't get in. Anyway, hopefully, you know, there's some people listening on shortwave, and those of you, I apologize if you're trying to listen live on the website and you can't. Hopefully, this won't interfere with the show ultimately being posted on the internet, and so people can listen to it. You know, just like all the shows are archived on my website. You know, you can listen if you miss one of the shows. They're all there since the first show I've ever done. All the Wall Street Unspuns are there. So if you weren't able to listen to this one live, you can hear it on shortwave. I mean in the archives on my website at www.europac.net. You just go to weekly radio broadcasts, click on listen to prior broadcasts, and then pick a show and listen to it. In any event, I apologize again. I do not know why this isn't working, and it is very disturbing to me that people cannot listen to this show live, because it also interferes with the callers, as it takes the internet audience out of play. In any event, let's go on with what we want to talk about for this show, but give me a call again. I definitely want to get some callers, particularly for you people who are listening via shortwave radio, because I'm not going to get the callers coming in from the internet. And I need some callers today too. I just had some dental surgery today, so you know, I got to have a little break. I don't want to have a monologue for an hour. Anyway, it's 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Well, you know, another week, another new 25-year high in the price of gold. Gold peaked above in the futures market. It got above $550. I think I saw spot gold at $499.95. I mean, just a nickel shy of 550. So I mean, we actually are, you know, just as close to 600 now as we are to 500. And I continue to recommend gold. A lot more people are starting to talk about gold now, certainly. And as a contrarian, you might take a pause there and think, well, gold is getting a little bit too popular. Maybe it's time for a pullback. And while that might be the case, I certainly don't think it's worth trying to trade, because I think that the potential for a pullback in gold is not that substantial as far as how significant a pullback we might get. And I still think the odds are just as great that we don't get a pullback, that we, in fact, continue to rise. And the one way that I can justify that as a contrarian, and I think it's not just wishful thinking, I mean, because I own a lot of gold and everybody knows that, but I still think gold can be up and it can still be a contrarian move. Because the way I think, you know, and usually what happens is the market does what's going to surprise the most amount of people, you know, to prove the most number of people wrong. And I think there's still a way that even though there's more bulls on gold, I still think there's a way that these bulls can be proven wrong. And the way I think they're likely to be proven wrong is because gold's going to move up a lot higher than they think and a lot faster than they think. I think the average new bull on gold on Wall Street is going to be very surprised at the pace at which and the extent to which gold rallies. And I also think most of these newfound gold bulls, you haven't the foggiest idea why gold is rising. I mean, they're dismissing, they're saying, well, it's not going up because of inflation or because of any problems. It's just new demand for gold. And, of course, they don't have any explanation as to why this new demand is there. They don't want to admit that the new demand is there because of inflation, because of, you know, the things that they don't want to admit are out there. But they're just going with it, and they're thinking, well, it's just going to go up. And they're looking at the charts, and they're looking at the momentum, and they're just buying it. And so I think that's another thing. I think that there's not a tremendous amount of sentiment for gold that would indicate any kind of climactic blow-off to the move. We're not seeing a lot of panic buying in gold. People aren't buying out of fear, out of desperation. We want to see something like that before we think we've had any extreme. So, you know, I think that we continue to move money into gold. I mean, sure, you know, if you've already got a position, you know, and you want to try to buy a pullback, I mean, maybe get a pullback from 525, 530. You know, I wouldn't wait for the 500. You know, there could be a lot of people that want to wait for a move all the way down to 500. You know, why a move to 500 isn't completely out of the question, and I don't think it would change the outlook for gold if we were to move to 500. But I wouldn't be that greedy in waiting for that, because I think there could be a lot of people who would love to buy a 10% move down in gold, and we might not see that substantial a move down in the price. Something's going on here. Anyway, so I wouldn't be that greedy looking for that big a move. But 4 or 5% pullback, I mean, you can easily get something like that. Anyone? Now, also, too, a lot of people have, asked us questions, and I figured I'd talk to it on the air about it a little bit, about the Perth Mint program, and about, you know, I've been pushing the Perth Mint program for a number of years as the best way to buy gold, and I still maintain that that is the best way. If there were a better way, I would offer it. I don't work for the Perth Mint. I mean, I found the Perth Mint because I thought it was the best way for my clients to own gold. And I use it myself, and I think it's good. It's a good way to go. But the criticism that I think has been put on the Perth Mint unfairly has been the fact that they offer the option of having your gold or silver stored in an unallocated fashion. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sure, if you don't have a reputable custodian, that could be a problem. But when your custodian is a AAA credit rated government, the wealthiest, best credit rating of any of the provinces in Australia, when that's who's standing behind your gold, letting you know that no matter what, whether it's due to fraud or theft, embezzlement, whatever it is, if your gold's not there, they're going to tax the citizens of Western Australia to the extent that they have to give you your money. And even if that designated government guarantee goes bust, they reinsure through Lloyd's of London. So, and Lloyd's of London is probably only offering the insurance because they know that it's never going to be needed, because, you know, they're standing behind, or they're in a secondary position to a sovereign authority in Australia, Western Australia. So I think if you were going for a private custodian and you weren't sure of the credit quality, yeah, you might have to be a little bit nervous about unallocated bullion. But, you know, for the same reasons, you'd have to be, you know, nervous about allocated bullion. You know, because even if you have a facility, a storage facility, that's segregating the bullion in your own name, that doesn't mean that if there's a theft or an embezzlement or something goes wrong, that you're home free. No, if the gold is gone, it's gone. You know, I think the safest place to keep it is in the Perth Mint. And, you know, for a number of reasons. And a lot of these storage companies online, you know, you can't even take delivery of small quantities. I mean, because you share ownership of larger bars with other people. And in many cases, they don't even offer real liquidity. I mean, if you want to buy, they need someone to sell. I mean, they're not offering you direct access to the actual bullion markets. They're making markets among their own users. So you're always looking for buyers and sellers. So no doubt the Perth Mint is the best way to go. If you want to have your metal allocated, you could take that option. It's a little bit more expensive because the Perth Mint incurs additional storage costs and they've got to charge it. But if you want to take advantage of the best deal going in bullion, you take the unallocated because you've got free storage, and you've got what better credit risk than the Western Australia with a AAA credit rating and reinsured through Lloyd's of London. And it's in Australia. I mean, I'd rather have the money there in Australia than in my backyard buried in my basement in a vault, because if someone breaks into your house and steals it, what are you going to do? It's gone. If someone breaks into the vault and the Perth Mint steals it, you're covered. And plus, I'd rather have it out of the country anyway in case the government tries to confiscate it. You know, I mean, I don't want to have to smuggle it out of the country and risk, you know, whatever the penalty might be. Who knows? Could be death at some point to try to smuggle gold out of the United States. You never know how bad things might get here. So I'd rather get it out of the country now while I can and have it offshore, so if I have to leave the country, it's there waiting for me. Anyway, it's a great program. It's the best there is. If you don't have any gold, buy it. If you have some, get some more. You can also get silver and platinum. You can learn all about the Perth Mint on my website at europac.net, also at goldyoucanfold.com. Call up the number where Danielle Dwyer is in charge of the program. She still works in the Newport Beach office. You can reach her directly at 800-993-8350. Now, also, I've noticed a lot of people too writing about gold. You know, who, you know, they can't give you a real opinion. They're, you know, they're going to come on there, they're going to post a commentary, and they're going to say, well, gold could go up, but on the other hand, it could go down. I wouldn't be surprised if it had a big drop, but then I wouldn't be surprised if it really shot up. I mean, that kind of commentary is, you know, or is really worthless because people don't know what they're talking about. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to be bullish on gold to appeal to people who are bullish. But then again, they don't want to actually commit because they don't want to take a chance on being wrong. And a lot of the people who are bullish on gold now, again, do not understand why it's going up. If they understood why it was going up, they would have bought it 2 or 3 years ago. They're buying it now only as a momentum play, but they're trying to have it both ways. They're trying to say it could go up, it could go down. Maybe you should buy it, but maybe you should wait for a pullback. That way, if it goes up, they can say they were bullish. If it goes down, they can say they said to hold off. I mean, I'm telling people that gold's going up. I've been saying that for years, and I've been telling people not to wait for a pullback. Don't get cute. Don't get greedy. And we're not – now, if you're trading on futures, if you're buying gold futures and you're using a lot of leverage, then it's a whole different ballgame, right? I'm not talking to the leverage speculator. Sure, when you're buying on leverage, you got to be very careful of your entry points and your pullbacks. But I'm not talking to the speculator, and I don't encourage my clients to speculate in gold. I think you just want to own gold, and if you're going to do that, it really doesn't matter whether you buy it at 540 or 530 or 520 or even 500, because I think it's going to 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. So in the scheme of things, it's not going to matter. Anyone buying it today is still buying it near the bottom. It's not the absolute bottom. I mean, obviously, it's not 250 anymore. But in the scheme of where it's going to go, this is still early. You know, maybe if it was a baseball game, if there's the ninth inning, maybe we're in the second or the third inning. Okay, so you didn't get in at the beginning, but it's still cheap. So don't be penny wise and pound foolish. And I think the risk is greater that you're waiting for gold to go up, waiting for it to drop to buy it. Instead, it keeps going up, and you end up buying it higher at some point. So just start buying. Anyway, too, I also wanted to talk about gold as a good measurement of value. I don't know if anybody saw me. I was on CNBC yesterday morning on Morning Call. And, that day, the Dow just broke through 11,000 for the first time in 4.5 years. And, the all-time record high was in January of 2000 at about 11,750. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of media hype about this Dow 11,000. We're a new high for 4.5 years. Everything is great. Get back into the stock market. And I pointed out, and I don't think anybody has done that yet on CNBC or maybe none of the networks, I pointed out this whole thing was a farce. That in January of 2000, when the Dow was at 11,750, the Dow was worth 45 ounces of gold. It took 45 ounces of gold to buy the Dow Jones. Today, 6 years later, even though the Dow is at 11,000, it's only equal to 20 ounces of gold. So the value of the Dow has gone from 45 ounces of gold to 20 ounces of gold. That's a 55% decline in the gold price of the Dow. Now, the dollar price of the Dow is not down nearly 55%, but the price of gold, in terms of gold, is. In fact, the Dow would have to be at 25,000 right now, 25,000, to be worth 45 ounces of gold. Now, what does that mean? It means the Dow is not really going up. It's the dollar that's going down. And so if the dollar is shrinking in value, sure, it takes more dollars to buy the Dow, but it doesn't mean you're wealthier. Right? If you want to know what's really happening, look at gold. And the real thing that's happened to the Dow is the Dow has lost 55% of its purchasing power relative to gold. And why do I want to relate it to gold? Because gold's money. Right? And the dollar's not. The dollar is the fiat currency. We have no idea what value the dollar's going to have in a year or two. We have no idea how many dollars Helicopter Ben is going to print. And we have no idea if he's going to print it into oblivion. And we know that they are, rapidly increasing the money supply right now. They have been for a number of years. They are debasing the dollar. And so all prices obviously need to rise in terms of dollars. But you don't want to measure your wealth in dollars. It doesn't make any sense because the dollar is shrinking in value. Now, maybe the stocks are not losing value now as rapidly as the dollar, but they're still losing value. And you've got to find an objective way to measure the value of something because you can't measure it in a shrinking asset like the dollar. So measure it in gold. But no matter what you measure the Dow in at 2000, whether you're going to measure it in another currency like the yen or the euro or the New Zealand dollar or the Swiss franc or the Aussie or Canadian dollar, the Dow is down dramatically since its peak in 2000. Measure the price of the Dow versus the price of a house. Measure the value of the Dow versus a barrel of oil. I mean, measure it versus anything else. Measure it versus a postage stamp. They just raised the price of a postage stamp, a couple days ago again. I mean, the Dow has gone down versus just about everything, except the U.S. dollar, because the dollar is sinking even faster than the Dow. So don't be fooled. And I mentioned on this broadcast on CNBC that this is one of the reasons the government loves inflation, why they always want to pursue a deliberate policy of inflation, is because inflation creates the illusion of prosperity among the voters, even as the voters themselves are becoming poorer, as judged by the price of the Dow relative to gold. Anyway, let's take a quick break, and I don't know if there's anybody listening with this internet with the website down. But let's take a quick break, and if anybody is listening, please give me a call so we can get some dialogue going on. The number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. 95.97. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back at the other side.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, and we are back live, Wall Street Unspun. I am here to take your calls on the off chance that anybody is actually listening. The telephone number is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. I'm wondering if the shortwave transmitter is even working. So I'd like something, I don't know if it maybe is it just the internet that's down or is the shortwave down as well. I mean, can anybody actually hear this live broadcast? The number to call, just to let me know that you can hear it, even if you don't have a question or a comment, is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Anyway, the dollar is continuing its decline again this week. It's technically looking extremely weak to me, very weak. In fact, I think if you look at the short-term daily charts of the yen looks the strongest to me of the currencies, but I think the Swiss franc and the euro also look very good. New Zealand dollar is looking good and the Aussie dollar. But these currencies look to me like they're poised for another rather substantial move up in a very short period of time. And I think we are also forming a substantial head and shoulders top in the dollar. It looked like it was forming a head and shoulders earlier in the year. This one is even bigger. This is a huge head and shoulders, and it's got a great neckline and two great shoulders. So I think that the technicals are really, really lining up in an ominous way for the dollar, and I think that the dollar's gains of 2005 could rapidly, rapidly disappear. I would not be putting off any foreign investments. I mean, as strong as the international stocks were last year, this year they're really going to have a tailwind with a falling dollar. And so I would definitely be moving money. These charts, I don't know if there's ever been a year where the dollar started off as weak as it has in 2006. And remember, 2007, despite the tremendous erosion of the dollar's fundamentals during 2005. China just announced yesterday a record trade surplus. Their trade surplus, I think, has tripled in a year. Despite this tremendous deterioration of already weak fundamentals, we had a temporary demand for dollars based on all the repatriation of foreign earnings by American companies to take advantage of a one-time tax break that expired at the end of 2005. So all that buying is gone. And, also there was some news. If you go on my website, again, I try to encourage everybody to go to my website daily to check out the news articles, the news stories that I post there. And I posted some stories relating to the news coming out of China and the rumors and what's been circulating about the Chinese government further looking to diversify out of the dollar and diversify their reserves, which are overwhelmingly U.S. dollars. And this is going to happen. I mean, it's not a question of when is it, if this is going to happen. It's a question of when. And everybody, China, I think this year, right now they got about $700 or $800 billion in reserve. And basically what that represents is the amount of goods that they sold us for which we didn't pay them. We didn't give them exports, so they've given us $700 or $800 billion worth of stuff, you know, worth of, you know, clothing and toys and furniture and electronics and whatever they've made. That's how much stuff they've given us over the last few years, and we haven't given them anything. But at some point over this year, their trade surplus is going to, I mean, their reserves are going to eclipse $1 trillion. And Japan is already there. They've already got over $1 trillion. So now it'll be two countries that are in the $1 trillion club where the U.S. owes them over $1 trillion, or they're holding over $1 trillion in reserves. We probably owe more than that when you count the U.S. dollars in private hands. But the ones that are in the official reserves, I mean, this is a substantial amount of money. So, I mean, this is one wave that you want to be out in front of. You don't want to be crushed by this. In fact, when these central banks try to move out, it's too late, you know. And some of these smaller foreign central banks, smaller central banks are probably going to try to get out ahead of these bigger central banks, knowing that at least they can do it, or maybe these other central banks, if they keep buying, will give these smaller central banks a little leeway. Which is one of the reasons why, you know, Japan or China should just go cold turkey and just let the dollar collapse. Because if they're going to stand there and try to prop it up, they're going to end up owning a lot more dollars and take a much bigger loss, because they're going to end up being the exit strategy for other people. Right now, they're the exit strategy for my potential clients. I mean, the only reason that an American can call up Euro Pacific Capital and take their U.S. dollars and exchange them for other currencies and buy something is because these foreign central banks haven't pulled the plug yet. Once they do pull that plug, the dollar's going down the drain. And, you know, just you got to make sure that you do something before these guys wise up. You know, still, you know, I just happened to rewatch that clip because we got corrupted, so it's not on my website yet. But the CNBC I did a couple of weeks ago where I was debating this guy. And he still kept talking about how important America was to the rest of the world because we consume all their surplus production. And it's, you know, this is, the guy's got it ass backwards. It's not America that's important, it's the rest of the world. It's the production that's important, not the consumption. There are no surplus goods. There are plenty of poor people all around the world that would love to have these products that Americans are consuming. There's no shortage of demand. You know, the only reason that Americans are consuming them is because our currency has been propped up. Believe me, there are people all over China who would love to have these products, you know, instead of Americans. There's no shortage. There's no surplus of stuff. There's never a surplus of stuff. There's always a shortage of stuff. I mean, think about it this way on your own. I mean, how many things do you want? How many things? I mean, sure, there are a lot of things you would want. Is there any limit to your needs? Right? I mean, whatever there is, sure, I want it. The only thing that limits what I want is what I can actually afford, which is based on my production. But there's no limit to what I want. There are all kinds of things like this. There's no excess production. Whatever someone produces, there's someone there who's willing to consume it, sure. So that's not a problem. The problem isn't the world's excess production. The problem is America's lack of production. That's the problem. And we're going to find this out the hard way very soon. But the most important thing is, you know, for my clients to understand it, or potential clients, and realize that you've got a limited time window available to you to do something about it, to protect yourself. You know, and just like, you know, Wall Street and the media and the U.S. government didn't protect you from the dot-com collapse until it was too late, right? They didn't have all these investigations of Wall Street and all this stuff until long after the horse was way out of the barn. You know, I was one of the few people out there telling it like it was, you know, while there was still time to protect your wealth. So don't wait for somebody to ring a bell and tell you, get out of the dollar, preserve your wealth, because by the time that bell rings, you're done. There's nothing left to preserve. The wealth is gone. You've got to wait. You've got to act in advance. Just like buying, you know, you can't go and buy fire insurance once your house is on fire. By then it's too late. You know, it's going to burn down. You've got to buy the insurance before the fire starts, not after. So anyway, if you don't have an account with us yet, I mean, it's not too late. If you do have an account, great. You know, if we don't have all your money, you know, send us the rest. But, you know, you got to give us a call. It's 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. And if you've got an account with us but your friends don't or your relatives don't, talk to them. You know, I've said this before. It's not enough. that, you know, you don't go broke, but you don't want your friends and your relatives going broke either, especially if they know that you have your money at Euro Pacific, you've got your money out of the dollar, because they're all going to be hitting you up for loans, they're all going to need money, and they're going to know that you've got it. And, you know, maybe I can preserve enough of your wealth to sustain you, but I don't know if I can sustain all of your family and all of your friends. So try to get as many people as you care about to protect their wealth as well, so you don't, you know, you don't have everybody hitting you up for loans and you don't have to pick up every check when you go out to dinner or whatever. So anyway, give us a call. I don't know, we still might have brokers in the office. 800-727-7922. That's the number to call to talk to a rep at Euro Pacific Capital. 800-727-7922. Now, I understand there might be some call-ins coming in, that they're coming in, but the calls are dropping out, and I'm not seeing them. I don't know if there's any calls on the line right now, or if there have been any. I'm not really sure what's going on. But if you have called up, and for some reason we haven't taken your call, the fact that I haven't known about the calls could also be part of the same problem that's keeping people from being able to access the radio show on the website. But anyway, so getting back to the discussion of the dollar, it looks technically, it looks extremely, extremely weak. And the three things it's got going for it that are very, very negative. The fundamentals are lousy for the dollar, and they always have been, and they're just getting worse by the day. The technical picture is rapidly deteriorating. I think, as I said, I think the dollar looks like it can really break down in a very short period of time here. But the sentiment, I think the sentiment, you know, you've got a huge flow of speculative money into the dollar this year, I mean in 2004, particularly that last move up. You know, when the dollar initially set up its first little head and shoulders, and it looked like the dollar, the bull move in the dollar might have been over. I think we got some of the dollar longs maybe to cover. We got some shorts that came in looking for the dollar to resume its downtrend. Then when it broke and made a new high and the dollar index went up to 91 and change and took out the high, that really stopped out a lot of weak shorts and really emboldened the bears. A lot of people were talking about a dollar breakout, and people that really don't understand the long-term fundamentals got bullish on the dollar, and I think we really got a lot of sentiment going for the dollar. That sucker's rally, and that's why they call them a sucker's rally, because it's meant to sucker a lot of people, to make people think that there's some kind of breakout, some kind of change in trend. And I think the number of people, the net speculative positions long the U.S. dollar, hit an all-time record. And if it wasn't an all-time record high, it was a high for many, many years. And so we got a lot of people loaded up long the dollar. We took out a lot of shorts. You know, they were really making fun of Warren Buffett for last year. You know, meanwhile, he's laughing all the way at the bank because, you know, he's still way ahead on getting out of the dollar. But, you know, I think the sentiment now, we've got everybody loaded up long. We've got a lot of speculative players. And all these speculators are going to turn into dollar sellers. And once the speculators are sellers, the speculators were buyers, and they were helping to support the real flow out of the dollar. But once the speculators turn into sellers and everybody else is still selling, the only buyers left are the central banks. And if they throw in the towel, which I think they will, there are no buyers. It's gone. That's sayonara. It's all over. So, and I think it can really unravel in 2006. And if it doesn't unravel in 2006, it's 2007. I would be shocked if we made it through 2007 without the you-know-what hitting the fan. And, you know, I still got a lot of flack. I see a lot of newspapers picked up that Business Week piece, you know, where they gave me the ninth worst call for 2005, where I said that 2005 could be, and I said could be, the year the dollar finally collapses. And I said it could be, and it could have been, and it wasn't, but it still could have been. And I make the same prediction that it could be, it could collapse in 2006, and it could collapse in 2007. It's going to collapse in one of those years. I don't know precisely, but still, what the Business Week article didn't mention is even though the dollar didn't collapse, my strategy of it being invested in international stocks beat hands down investing in U.S. stocks. I mean, hands down. I mean, it beat it handily. The best place to be last year was in overseas equities, of course, also in energy and gold, which we were in too. I mean, so I had it all. And in my other predictions for 2005 were oil hitting 65 to 70, which was a fantastic call. I don't think anybody made a more accurate call at the end of 2004 on oil than I did. And I predicted gold would break through 500. And I was right on both of those. So, yeah, our clients did extremely well. And hopefully the Business Week is going to do a best calls. But I doubt it. You know, they like to make fun of the worst ones. But in any event, because I thought about that because I happened to be looking at the Orange County Register website and they had posted something. So I posted a comment to it, which they were kind enough to put up there. But in any event, I stand by those calls. And I keep wanting to say that, look, and every year the dollar doesn't collapse increases the chance that it collapses the following year. You know, so it didn't collapse in 2005. Now there's a greater chance it's going to collapse in 2006. And if we make it out of 2006, then the odds are even higher that it happens in 2007. Because the problems are just getting worse year by year. They're not getting better. We're piling bigger trade deficits onto already large trade deficits. And the more money we borrow, the more debt we have to pay. And eventually, as interest rates rise, that compounds the debt service. Because not only do we have more debt to service, but we have to service it at a higher cost. So it's only a question of time before this whole thing unravels. And unfortunately, I don't think that time span is long anymore. You know, because the problem is now so big, the numbers are now so big that they're just going parabolic. And, you know, sure, these problems existed 15 and 20 years ago, but they weren't as acute. The numbers weren't this big. And so that's how come we've been able to get by this long without a major crisis. Sure, we've had a lot of problems. I mean, the economy has been deteriorating, the current account balance has been worsening, but the whole economy hasn't unraveled. But that's got to happen. And now that we're talking about such dramatic numbers, you know, it's going to happen. And we're looking at other commodities, too. It's not just the precious metals. Look what's happened to copper. Look what's happened to some of these other metals that we've been following. They're all just going through the roof. Interesting, Phelps Dodge. And it shows you how bad inflation is. You know, copper prices have really been strong. And Phelps Dodge a couple of days ago came out with earnings, and they missed the estimates. The stock got hammered by about 8%. And the reason was, even though copper prices went up so much, their margins were under pressure because the costs went up even faster. The energy costs or whatever costs they had in terms of mining and operations, those costs rose even faster than the price of copper. I mean, the government is telling us there's no inflation. Yet a copper mining company is having its profits squeezed by rising costs, even though copper prices are going through the roof. Now, of course, they also mentioned that they had some hedges in place, and that's, you know, that worked against them. They didn't get the full benefit of the hedge, but still, if their costs hadn't risen to the extent they did, they would have done really well. But it's inflation that's driving those costs higher and increasing the cost of doing business. And so you got to look at what's going on. I mean, look at the news that's out there and see that, you know, this is what's going on. Now, obviously, a lot of these companies are going to start looking at this and say, well, look, we got to pass on bigger price increases. We've got to make up for these rising costs, and we've got to extract it from the only person we can, the end customer. You know, because ultimately it's the consumer that pays for all those costs. They're all part of the price. And so you're going to start to see that. But these higher costs are going to work their way through the price system. A lot of times inflation is felt at the producer level before it makes its way into the consumer level. Ultimately, though, what's going to happen is as the producers start anticipating more inflation, when inflation expectations start to catch up with reality, they'll start pricing ahead. And what that means is the producer will start anticipating the cost of replacing his inventory and realizing that, well, if I sell, you know, my widgets today at X, by the time I replace it, you know, I might not even get enough money to restock. So at some point, once the inflation psychology sets in, the consumer prices could actually start to lead the producer prices as the businesses start anticipating future price increases and start pricing their goods based on what it's going to cost them or their perceived cost to replace the merchandise. And that's when you really start to see inflation running out of control as well, because it's a self-perpetuating loop. Everybody is anticipating inflation, and of course nobody wants to hold money. The minute you get your money, you want to get rid of it. So you get this tremendous tremendous increase in velocity, and hoarding stops. I mean, right now, one of the reasons that inflation is not even more severe than it is because there are so many dollars being hoarded around the world still, and that's going to end, you know. People holding dollars in their mattresses, in the Russian mafia that might have some dollars, or any people that are holding a change, in, you know, even in a piggy bank or money under their mattress. Once people really start to perceive the rate to which dollars are losing value, nobody's going to hold dollars, and people are going to want to spend them the minute they get them. They'll be going through people's hands like a hot potato. And so even if the Federal Reserve tried to contract money supply, the velocity of the money that's out there could increase so much that you just end up with hyperinflation. And this is the real risk in the U.S. economy. I mentioned it. I mean, hyperinflation is a real, real risk. And it's a disaster. A country that goes through hyperinflation, that's the worst thing there is. Unfortunately, it happens in a lot of countries because the politicians don't want to do what they need to do to prevent it. And preventing it is also very painful, especially for the politicians who get the blame and don't get returned to office, which is one of the reasons that they often postpone it so much that we end up getting something worse, hyperinflation. But the only way to stop it would be the government to suddenly act responsibly and the Federal Reserve to act responsibly, and that's, you know, I don't know if we're going to get that. I don't know if they're going to be able to cut the money supply and raise interest rates and let the chips fall where they may. I don't know if the Federal Reserve and the U.S. government are going to be able to stand by and watch the housing market collapse, watch Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac go bust, watch the Pension Guarantee Corporation go bust, watch the FDIC go bust, all sorts of failures. Watch major companies fail and not lift a finger. That's what they need to do. If they don't do that, if they try to pretend that they can solve these problems by printing money like Ben Bernanke thinks he can, then the hyperinflation scenario is going to win out. Anyway, let me give out the number. Hopefully somebody will call to ask a question, make a comment. If anybody saw me on CNBC either this week or last, you know, give me a call if you have any comments on that. Just want to ask a question. The number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back for the last segment.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that is passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Hi, we're back. It's Peter Schiff again. We're broadcasting Wall Street Unspun as we do live every Wednesday at 5.07 megahertz, 5.07 megahertz. Also, under normal circumstances, we are broadcasting live on our webcasting live on my website at www.europac.net, www.europac.net. And the archives, I mean, most people are going to have to listen to this show via the archives on my website under the resources, the drop-down menu. For a live weekly radio broadcast, just click on the listen to prior broadcasts to get this week's show. Anyway, I apologize for this. Hopefully this will never happen again, or maybe we'll find a way to try to have a different way of doing this radio show in the future if the current method proves too unreliable to continue. And so I'll check into that, but I want to make sure this does not happen again. Anyway, the lines are open. I don't know if anybody's trying to call. I have no idea. But the number is 888 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. Now, we did get the employment numbers that came out, I believe, on Friday, and like I suggested on the show, I thought that the numbers would be weak, and in fact, they were weak. I think the consensus estimate was for something like 200,000 plus jobs created. I saw estimates reaching as high as 300,000, and what did we create? 105,000 jobs. That was it. You know, another very disappointing number. And of course, a lot of these jobs are these phony make-work jobs. They're service sector jobs, and they're, you know, they're just not real jobs. They're all going to disappear when the products disappear. You know, once the Chinese and the Japanese and the rest of the world stop sending us their products in exchange for nothing. And again, you have to realize when we just print money and give it to them, they're getting nothing. You know, they can dump those products in the ocean and let their governments print money on their own. I mean, that's what's basically happening, right? When the Chinese, a Chinese manufacturer sells us a widget, we give them dollars. The Chinese manufacturer takes the dollars, gives them to the Bank of China. The Bank of China prints up some yuan and gives it to the manufacturer. And now he's earned his yuan. Well, why do we need the U.S. Why does the U.S. have to be there? Why doesn't the Bank of China just print up yuan and give them to the Chinese exporter? Why require them to ship anything? Why involve the United States? I mean, why even manufacture the product in the first place? Why not just take the time off? Why not let the factory give all its employees the day off, let them lie on the beach, and the Bank of China can print up money without the necessity of backing them with dollars? You know, it's an unnecessary step. But, of course, America benefits from that unnecessary step because we get all these products that we otherwise would have to go without. You know, and, of course, the Chinese are worse off because instead of lying on the beach and having fun, they're sweating in factories making products for which they're not getting paid. But anyway, where was I before I digressed to that? I think I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, the jobs numbers that I was talking about. Yeah, so those jobs are going to go away once we don't have the products coming in. Also, you know, numbers, I read an article was on my site about health care. You know, now I think we're at the highest percentage ever of our GDP is being wasted on health care. I mean, sure, we want to be healthy, but we don't want to spend this tremendous amount of money on it. And it's because of the bloated healthcare bureaucracy because of the extent to which the U.S. government has entangled itself in the healthcare system. You know, based on, you know, employer-provided health insurance, which is a function of the tax code, and based on Medicaid and Medicare and all the tremendous involvement of the U.S. government in the delivery of healthcare it costs a fortune. And it's a huge burden on the economy that we have to waste so much of our money on something that should cost, you know, a lot less. And, you know, for all this health care, I mean, we don't have the highest life expectancy in the world. I mean, plenty of countries that spend a lot less on health care than we do, and they have far greater life expectancy. So they're healthier for a lot less money. And the money they don't have to spend on health insurance is money they get to spend on things, or health care they get to spend on things they want. See, nobody wants to spend money on health care. You want to be healthy, but you don't want to have to spend a lot of money to be healthy. You know, just like, you know, you want to be safe, right? But you want to have to spend a lot of money on burglar alarms and on, you know, on barbed wire and armed security guards. I mean, if that's to the extent that that's necessary, that takes away from what you really want to spend your money on. You want to spend your money on consumer goods. You want to have fun. You want to enjoy yourself. You don't want to have to spend money on safety or on health or on things like that. You want to have those things, but you want to be able to get them for as little money as possible, right? And so the fact that we've got to waste so much money on these things, same thing with education. I mean, you want to get educated, but you want to get educated as inexpensively as possible. The problem is the government is so involved in education, so heavily subsidizing education through loans and grants and guarantees and all that. Education is cost a bloody fortune in the United States. And it's just a waste. I mean, we're not better educated than anybody else. We're not better educated than we used to be. The irony of it is, for all the money we waste on education, we're worse educated. We're learning less. I mean, so much of the money just goes into the bureaucracy. But anyway, I can do an entire show just on that, and I think I've touched on these subjects in the past. And you know, anything the government gets involved in is going to be too expensive. You know, that's why, you know, You know, recently we found out there was an article about the oil production out of Iran, and that it's, you know, it's now lower. Iran is producing less oil today than they produced when the before we invaded. Saddam Hussein was in charge. Well, of course, I predicted that long ago. I said, look, it's like the post office. You were sending the post office in there to pump oil. You know, I remember there was a guy that lived in my building, my complex in Newport Beach, and his son was in the Army, and he was over there in Iraq. And I remember I had a conversation with the guy, and the guy was like, yeah, we're in there, we're going to clean up, and oil is going to go to $10 a barrel. We're going to flood the world with oil. Once we clean up and get rid of Saddam, it's going to be cheap oil for everybody. And this guy actually believed it. It was nonsense. And so what do? We went into Iraq, and where's oil? Did oil go to $10 a barrel? No, it's at $64 a barrel. You know, it was at $20 a barrel when we went in there. You know, and so now, you know, it's tripled. We've tripled the price of oil. And Iran is actually importing gasoline now. That's how pathetic it is. The refining capacity has been so diminished since we got in there that Iran actually has to import gasoline. And in fact, they're having lines and protests and riots because of the huge increase. I think gasoline prices now for the Iranians are up like something like tenfold to buy gas at the gas pump. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we came in there and of course we screwed things up. But I wrote about that. I talked about that ad nauseum. I talked about this is going to be a quagmire. This is another Vietnam, and we're not going to go in there and make things better. You know, but there were so many foolish people out there that again believed this nonsense. They're the same people that believed in the internet, and the same people that are telling you that the U.S. economy is great with a consumption-based, debt-based economy. And they think the same people who think the U.S. is doing the world a favor by consuming, that the most important part of the global economy is in America, like the most important part of a train is a caboose. Like without the caboose, the train wouldn't go forward. I mean, it's the same people. They're wrong consistently. They're wrong about everything. And you can't take investment advice from these lame brains. You know, you got to understand that that's what you're getting from Wall Street, from conventional brokerage firms. You're not getting any good investment advice. You're getting a bunch of nonsense. Just like, you know, look, when you talk to your real estate broker about what they think the real estate market's going to do, you're going to get more nonsense. Now, I was watching one of these programs over the weekend on Fox, and there was a real estate agent on there. And, you know, they were all talking about, you know, was there a real estate bubble that's going to go down? And this real estate agent was saying that she thought that 2006 was going to have even faster appreciation for real estate than 2005. Now, I mean, can you believe that? I mean, can anybody with all the overwhelming evidence of this enormous amount of supply hitting the market and with interest rates going higher and higher, how can anybody think that not only is real estate going to do well, but it's going to do better than last year? I mean, this is nonsense. Obviously, she's a real estate broker, and she's saying what she thinks she needs to say because she wants people to buy houses, and she wants to tell them how much money they're going to make. You know, what she was saying was she thought that the reason that prices were slowing, the increases, was because too many people were being fooled by all the propaganda and all the media about the bubble, all the talk about bubble, bubble, bubble. And so a lot of people who would normally be buying houses are being scared, you know. And then once they realize that it was all a bunch of nonsense, they're going to rush to buy, and then the prices are going to skyrocket. See, the people aren't being scared. They're starting to think rationally, right? It's not all this nonsense talk about a bubble. There is a bubble. And maybe some people are starting to seep in. You know, anybody who's afraid to buy at these prices, they better be afraid. They're an idiot to buy at these prices. They're going to collapse. So maybe the public is finally waking up to the reality and acting a little bit less insane. You know, that's what's happening. It's not that they're foolishly not buying because they're scared when they shouldn't be. This is not some kind of boogeyman, some kind of, you know, false fear that's out there. It's real. You know, this is it. You know, I just, you know, remember that big condo project in Las Vegas, that Ivana Las Vegas, you know, when first Donald Trump came in there and he was going to build this big condo project, which is still going on, and then, of course, Ivana Trump, they come in and I'm going to build one even bigger. Well, that thing fell through. They're not building it anymore. They had the office there, they had it, but they're not going to break ground. That thing is done. Some other big condo developments in Vegas have been canceled. You know, I mean, the writing is on the wall here. Of course, the home builders keep going up. I mean, this is a short squeeze if I've ever seen one. I mean, these stocks are surging. I don't know when these things are going to peak out, but these stocks are going to collapse. But again, I have not been recommending as a strategy to my clients shorting stocks, because in a hyperinflationary outcome, being short is a disaster. Because when you're short, what you're doing is you're selling stuff and getting dollars. And you don't want to do that, because as fast as the stuff might lose value, the dollar can lose value even faster. So you can be wiped out being short. What you want to do is own what's going to go up, and you want to borrow dollars. You don't want to collect dollars. You want to borrow dollars. And so you want to own something on margin, for example, as opposed to being short. Because when you own something on margin, you've borrowed dollars, and now you're going to pay back with cheaper dollars. But unless a company goes bankrupt, right? If there's hyperinflation, it's not going to lose value in terms of dollars. In fact, hyperinflation is going to bail out potentially a lot of companies that would go bankrupt if we didn't have hyperinflation. A company like General Motors, for example, I mean, its only way out of bankruptcy is hyperinflation. Because if the government does what it needs to do to stop hyperinflation, GM's a goner. And the equity holders are going to get wiped out, and the bondholders are going to own the company. On the other hand, if there's hyperinflation, the bondholders get wiped out, and the equity holders are still holding something. Now, there's no question that General Motors shares are going to fall dramatically in terms of gold, in terms of oil, in terms of, Japanese yen or euros, or in terms of, a bushel of wheat or an ear of corn or a loaf of bread or anything else you want to do. GM's going down versus it. But the one thing it might not go down against is the U.S. dollar. If Ben Bernanke and his cronies at the Fed are successful, or not successful, but do not, end up with hyperinflation, if they do not administer the medicine that Bernanke swears he won't administer, because this guy thinks he knows why we had the Great Depression. He thinks he knows the mistakes that were made, and he thinks he knows how to prevent one. Well, he's dead wrong. He's wrong on all accounts. He's got his ass backwards once again, as usual. And the very thing that he thinks he can do to prevent the depression is the very thing that will result in hyperinflation. And I don't know if this man is going to learn the truth. Maybe Alan Greenspan will have a little talk with him, because I know Greenspan knows this. So maybe Greenspan will have a little private conversation with Ben Bernanke and enlighten him for a minute and let him know the way the world works, like a father-son, telling him the facts of life, because I think Bernanke, in that respect, is like a little child, and somebody needs to tell him the facts of monetary life. And so maybe Greenspan will sit down and have that conversation with him behind closed doors. But, don't bet on it, folks. And either way, whether we have hyperinflation or the Fed gets religion, the dollar's going down. I mean, its fate is already sealed. The question is, does it go down for the count, or does it just, go down? So you want to make sure that you've got your money out of the dollar. You want to make sure you're invested in these foreign stocks. And you want to make sure you're in gold. And, we can help you do that. We can help you do that at Euro Pacific Capital. That's why we're here. That's why I'm doing this show. I'm doing this show to try to help protect as many people as possible. I've got my wealth protected already. I'm set. A number of my clients are already there. I'm doing this show for an hour every Wednesday, trying to reach out, trying to get as many Americans as I can on board this life raft. The window is closing. We don't have a lot of time. So, if you've been procrastinating, if you've been listening to the show, do something, and if you want to get more in-depth information, don't invest based on a radio show broadcast. Call up my office, talk to the brokers, 800-727-7922, 800-727-7922. Same time next week, hopefully the live show will be working at www.europac.net. If you haven't done so, download our free research report at researchreport1.com. Subscribe to our newsletter, The Global Investor, at www.europac.net. The first two issues are out. The third one is in the works. So make sure you sign up to get that newsletter. Thanks again to anybody who was able to listen. Again, I apologize for the problem with the calls. and for the internet. Thanks again, everybody, and hope to be live next week at the same time. So long.